We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Misery loves company. If that's true, I hope we can all be miserable together today. Just here for an hour until the NCAA action kicks back off. But for K-State and KU fans alike, I will not neglect K-State from merely having lost earlier. I have something for Bruce Weber. I am Josh Briscoe, the very special intro today, and board running by the one and only Chris Bowling. It's a really good song choice. It's the only fitting song choice at this point, I would argue. And that's where we're at right now. That kind of sad 9 a.m. introspection here on Sports Sunday is all we've got. In fact, we'll see if Chris can continue to pick sad songs for the next two segments. Again, a quick Sports Sunday here, just with you for an hour. But goodness me, I think we'll have enough to get us through 60 minutes of content. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, joins us in about 20 minutes. Even with or without him, we will have plenty to talk about. Again, I am not here to neglect K-State's misery. I am going for equal opportunity misery sharing today. We have to start with Kansas, though, because it happened last night, the way that it happened, the storyline of Kansas all year. We will talk about K-State. But the thing that happened last comes first. The final score looks so much kinder. I pulled up the box score just to make sure I'd be able to have all my numbers right and everything. The final score looks so much kinder than that game actually was to Kansas. And it's because KU played really, really well in the second half, especially right out of the gate. Now, towards the end, Auburn started to pull up a little bit, and KU continually attempted to shorten up that margin, and I get it. But out of the second half, neither team missed a shot for like a day. But right out of the gate, there are... And we've known this. There were so many problems with Kansas all year long. In fact, I did have K-State losing to UC Irvine and KU losing to Auburn in my one and only bracket that you can compete against at Sports Radio at 810WHB.com. You can check out in the VIP standings. I did find out last night that I have one game that I accidentally picked different that really makes me angry because I just want them to be exactly the same.
I had a parlay going last night.
Oh,
and
no.
I thought,
but Chris, gambling's illegal.
Yeah,
entertainment.
It was entertainment. There
parlay.
Was entertainment parlay.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I had Purdue in my bracket.
Yep.
And I thought I had put Purdue in that.
Yep.
But for some reason, I had Villanova, and I looked at it again.
It's like, the worst.
I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Please just let me root for one specific thing. I don't want 17 brackets or rooting conflicts. So I'm gonna root for one thing during the month of March and early April.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. What is your? I've heard a lot of people say that this tournament hasn't been a great, for a casual perspective fan. The Maryland LSU game yesterday was really fun to watch. It was a fun game, but the nightcap in the afternoon, not great.
Not great games.
But here's my thing about it. I'm of the sense that, yes, if you have a lot of first round, upsets and a lot of teams that maybe aren't really necessarily that good get to the next rounds, then you're just going to see it.
It's going to happen 60. Later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you're
so
right.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay seeing better games with better teams later.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I
like the first 2 days the most, and the next 2 days the next most. How do we get here first? I haven't even buried KU and K-State yet. We've got to get you a parking break for your fiery takes. We have to have a show meeting in advance, and we're never going to. We are never going to have a show meeting at 8:45 in the morning. It's never going to happen.
Early.
It's too early. I'm never going to – Sunday morning, absolutely not. That's a third segment topic, Chris. Shame on you. With the intro and then that ridiculous – cherry bomb in the middle of the first segment. You are now merely a neutral on the day.
I'm neutralized.
You had a plus. You had a positive plus minus after the intro, and now you just Charlie Moore'd a wide open three.
I did,
and you clanked it.
I did.
You clanked it, pal.
I clanked it.
Let me bury KU and K-State. Damn it. But you're right. We're going to get bad games eventually. It's either going to be high seeds and the upset seeds later on. It's going to be early on. It's fine. If we eventually get – you can't judge a tournament after the first 3 days.
Yeah.
Also, today's going to be fun. I'm all in on Zion versus Taco Fall. I didn't know about Taco Fall until Chris told me about him like a week ago. And now I'm all in. I'm not talking about that right now.
Bury him.
We're burying KU and K-State. We're burying KU and K-State. We knew all along that KU had a lot of problems. This was not a surprise. Again, this is how I started talking about how smart I am and how good my bracket was. It's because I thought KU was probably going to bow out early. Like, and Auburn specifically, as the matchup, made a lot of sense for the thing that was going to ultimately pull KU underwater. We saw them shoot really well, especially I think it was in the first half of their opening game. I made a joke about Kansas just getting back on the plane. And then Auburn cooled off a little bit, if memory serves, but not last night. And KU is damaged twofold. Offensively, in two different ways. And then also, really on both sides of the floor. The defense in the first half last night was abysmal. And I think it's relatively difficult. It's relatively difficult to be so bad defensively in college basketball that everyone notices. Because I would say most of the time you can at least like chalk up great shooting days to just great shooting days. But last night, 8 minutes into the game, KU was down 22-0 in fast break points. That's insane. That shouldn't happen. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen in a 16-versus-1 matchup. Because even whenever one team is totally athletically outclassed, even then, you get a loose ball in a baseball pass. Like Something happens, and KU was getting absolutely brutalized. Not the threes in the hot shooting. Sometimes you can't control that completely. And not that KU's perimeter defense was excellent, because it was not. But that can't be the first thing. The first thing for me is that out of the gate, KU got completely ransacked in transition, in both directions. It's impossible.
Yeah, the lack of transition defense from Kansas. It just looked like they didn't even want. It looked like they didn't even want to be there.
Well, it's the thing that happens again, like in like a 116 matchup where it's just all, you realize, oh yeah, these dudes won the FWAC and they're playing Duke, and you know what? Duke's got too many athletes for the FWAC, and that shouldn't happen to Kansas. But whenever you do get down that way, the game doesn't automatically end. You just have to have any number of shooters, and this team has zero. It has zero. We don't know what happened to Gerald Vick. He would have made this team better from outside three. That's not even arguable. And that's just, it can only be true. Dedrick Lawson's an excellent player. He can't be your only guy, though. And that's not a knock on Dedrick Lawson. That's just, I think that's pretty clearly true. I think Devon Dodson is going to end up being, of the players currently on this roster, we talked about this last week, I don't know what it was, Wednesday, with Kenny Chapoliams on our like tournament preview show. I asked her, which of these players on this team do you think is currently on the roster? Who's going to have, like, who has the best odds to eventually have their number in the rafters? And I think it's Devon Dodson. I think that if he will stay and try to follow a bit of a Frank Mason or Devontae Graham path, and more Frank Mason, I think his development will be absolutely thrilling to watch, where he'll be getting national attention sooner rather than later. But he's not, no one on this team is a shooter right now. The only guy that seems to want to most of the time is Charlie Moore, and I wish he wouldn't. And he only had the one really late. Like, actually, I think it was the last play of the game. I don't know. But he was out there, wasn't out there very much, which was for the best because he just frustrates me to watch him play basketball. But like Dodson at least attempted a handful of threes. Quentin Grimes did also. But there's no rhythm for either of those guys. There's no rhythm for anyone on this team. And we've known that where these guards, all being as young as they are, since Oche Agbaji cooled off a little bit, even whenever Quentin Grimes started his resurgence, I guess you could put in quotation marks, and then maybe a question mark, maybe an upside down question mark before that, so you really understand that I'm putting this on question marks. Even whenever he began to have positive impacts more regularly, he's not get hot and shoot 7 of 10 from 3 in a night. Even 5 from 10 in a night, honestly. And so this team has had these guard problems all year. But they also terribly miss Udoka Azubuki. And I tweeted this out last night at JB Briscoe. And lots of people tweeted to say that this team can't. Azubuki doesn't save this team last night. They had Azubuki last year against Villanova. This game felt very similar to that one. And that is absolutely all true and fair and well and good. But with Azubuki, you allow Dedrick Lawson to play differently. Where he doesn't have to be the guy down low in the middle that is the fundamental center that everything is running through. Not positional center, but the center of everything that this offense runs through. And at the very least, whenever Lawson is challenged, you know you can go to Azubuki and you can at least shorten up the getting run off the court margin that KU was dealing with early last night. Where if Azubuki is out there, you know you have someone else that you can go to that is going to actually score, and it doesn't have to be Lawson or someone who shouldn't be shooting. And that's been the unfortunate and true dynamic of Kansas for the majority of this season. It's why they didn't win the Big 12. It's why they didn't win the Big 12 tournament. It's why they didn't win last night. Now, last night, whenever Auburn shoots as well as they do, maybe KU loses in every version of this game. But when you see how they played in the second half, and I would say that Auburn cooled down like ever so slightly, it wasn't by a lot. They were great all night. It was an outstanding performance from Auburn, obviously. But at the very least, you can see the two biggest fundamental shortcomings that this Kansas team had. They don't have a safe secondary option offensively, and you can't trust any of these guards. Chris, your microphone's been on for like 5 minutes. What do you want?
I just wanted to say, like, even like I was thinking about that as well. Because I saw the same thing on Twitter. I think that you were talking about with people talking about even with Udoka Azubuike. Mm-hmm. With the shooting, trading twos and threes wasn't going to work all night for KU.
No, but it's not. You're not down. You're not doubled up at halftime.
No. That's what I'm saying. But that's not my point. I was trying to make. They're not a four seed if Udoka Azubuike. They wouldn't be playing Auburn. They would have been probably a three seed, maybe a two, depending on
if they get a whole year of Azubuike, they win the Big 12.
I think a two most likely, because I still think this team was flawed, even with going
for sure.
So. That's the first thing. So that's the thing that people need to look at as well. Secondly, the backcourt, they were just playing at a different speed, that Auburn team, completely the whole night.
And that might be the most frustrating thing, because the first, if you're going to use a word for Devon Dotson, you get one adjective. You go, oh, fast. Okay, Quentin Grimes, athletic. Like those are the first words out of your mouth for those guys, because obviously Grimes, you can't say is at a point of perfect, refined, a piece of refined diamond at this point. He's got a lot of problems, but you, as a highly recruited guy, you know that he's an athlete, even as he has some messes to clean up in his game. With Dotson, no one should be outrunning Devon Dotson ever. So I don't know what to do with that, because you're right. Like the speed, especially in the first half, was evident, and that's how you get a 22-0 fast break margin in the first 8 minutes. Is one team is playing on turbo, and one team is a 16 seed. But that still shouldn't explain the place that Kansas was at last night, Yeah, like that shouldn't be the way that that game panned out. Getting outshot, sometimes you get outshot. But even like people are talking about defensively, you spread the floor like that, Azubuike's out of position. And even that being true, it allows Dietrich Lawson's role to change on both ends. It allows him to be a little more versatile defensively, which I think he could have very well handled. And it allows him to be more of a passer, at least on occasion, on the offensive side. And it's just, I think I underrated how much losing Azubuike was going to hurt Kansas. And over the last several weeks, it became more and more painfully evident. But that, I think, still is secondary to just how out of sorts the guards all seemed. And, you know, Yudoka Azubuike, or excuse me, Agbaji. I've done that multiple times. I prepare myself for a difficult name, and then I say the wrong one. Ochai Agbaji saved you in a few games this season, but it wasn't enough of them late. He's not going to save you in the tournament. You have to have something that you can be confident in to hang your hat on. I was hoping that might ultimately be Devon Dodson, and I think someday it will. But right now, Kansas doesn't have any of that.
Here, and then, of course, you know, after every early exit for Kansas, the old perennial hot take of, is Bill Self a good coach?
Bad production, Chris. We got to take a break. We got to take a break. I told Michael we'd call him at 9:20. I don't want to have this conversation. We had this conversation on Wednesday. I'm not having this conversation today. Absolutely no interest whatsoever. It is Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. We do actually need to take a break so we can talk to Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports covering Kansas. We've basically talked to him like every weekend. I don't know why. I never talked to him during the week over on ESPN Kansas City. I just save him for Sundays. I don't know why. But we'll talk to him again whenever we come back here. What was it that was the biggest problem for Kansas last night? Was there anything they could have done to have won that game? If you say no, is that kind of a cop-out? I think it is. We'll talk to Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports whenever we come back here. I'm Josh Briscoe. You're listening to Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. Not quite the depressing music of the first segment. We're bouncing back. Unlike KU and K-State, and I guess kind of also Missouri. It was a very bad weekend for local basketball. But we will talk about the KU side specifically right now with Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports here on Sports Sunday. You follow Michael on Twitter at mswain97. And, Michael, I don't know even where exactly to begin from last night. What was your main takeaway?
I think my biggest takeaway was I don't think KU had a chance of winning that game if you played it 10 times over. I think regardless of how well Auburn shot in the first 8 minutes and how poorly KU played in transition defense in those first 8 minutes, I think just in general, when you look at the two teams and the two styles, those are just two – it's just a bad matchup for Kansas. And I hate that term because it can be such an excuse at times for teams. But I really do think that. You look at the guard play that Auburn had, you know, they've got four guards that can run, shoot, defend multiple positions. I mean, Okiki really impressed me, the way that he defended Dietrich Lawson, the way that he got out and made Dietrich Lawson defend him. I think that Auburn really forced the issue in every facet of the game, and I really think that Kansas struggled to kind of find ways to counteract what Auburn was trying to do. I mean, Bill Self went to a triangle in two. That really didn't work. He went to a 2-3 zone. That really didn't work. Just anything that Kansas tried to throw out there and get back in the game or even win the game really didn't work. And I really am of the opinion that I think regardless of how many times you played that game, I think Kansas would come out with a win maybe 2 times out of 10. I think that just in general, the styles of play don't match. Auburn is the perfect team to kind of knock off Kansas. You've seen it this season. Teams that shoot can defend, you know, 1 through 4, four guards against Kansas, who wants to play two bigs, because when they do go to that four-guard lineup, Marcus Garrett isn't the best option at the stretch four. So I think just in general, my biggest takeaway was that was just a really bad matchup, and I think that really showed.
So I think you sort of answered the follow-up, which is, why was this matchup so doomed? But within that, mm-hmm. I do think it's a little bit of a cop-out to go like, oh, no, there was really nothing they could have done, because maybe totally. There was nothing they could have done last night. But if you had to retool Kansas to be prepared for a matchup like this, how do you do it? Because honestly, with everything you're saying right there, is it doesn't even really sound like to me it's a matchup thing as much as it this is because of that 22-0 fast break thing from the beginning of the game, which is just psychotic. That doesn't sound like a matchup thing. Your logic, that doesn't sound like a matchup thing. It sounds like a 16 went up against Duke and Duke took over immediately. Like, that's the way that we're talking about all of this.
Sure, and doesn't it kind of feel like the Oklahoma game a couple weeks ago? That's the kind of thing that I felt like. And I know I heard you mention that in the previous segment. I don't hate that comparison, but I think that when you look at Kansas, I understand the thought about the 16 just getting absolutely overrun by the talent. But I think that when you look kind of later in the game, KU did do some nice things. I need to look back at the numbers in the second half and see if KU was, if they won the second half and how much. But I really do feel like for this, and I understand the whole bad matchup thing, but that transition early on, Kansas came out really slow. Mm-hmm. And for whatever you attribute that to, playing the second game in 3 days, playing it late at night, it could be whatever. But KU came out slow. And Auburn absolutely blitzed KU. And I think that early on, what you saw was a lot of guys getting caught in between. I think I specifically remember Ochai Agbaji and Quentin Grimes each individually getting caught in between two shooters and running to one before one passed to the other and then kind of trying to scurry over to the other before they could shoot it. And they shot it and they made it. And it just felt like Kansas was a step or two slow. And I really think that for whatever you would attribute that to, I think that that was really the reason why they got behind so much so early on.
And I think you're right. But again, even that, like, isn't enough for me right now. Like, I am thirsty for blood, because you can say all that, and I think you're right. Also, what is this team at guard if not fast and athletic? Like Devon Dotson, word association game is speed. Ochai Agbaji is probably what, like, energy? Quentin Grimes has to be athletic because he hasn't been refined throughout this season. You know, he's had his moments and everything. But those three guys, all in the starting lineup, the only three guys that you feel like can really fundamentally change the pace of a game in your advantage, making it faster. How are those three guys on the floor getting outrun?
That I don't know. And that is, I remember specifically Devon Dotson made a really nice layup at the rim, and he kind of was like 75% getting back, like didn't full sprint, but was definitely like hustling. Mm-hmm. And Jared Harper just got the ball off of a made basket and beat Devon down the floor. Like, I entirely understand that. And that is what was shocking to me, was those sort of moments. That Devon Dotson getting beat down the court, or Ochai Agbaji getting beat to a ball. Like, those are the things that you just – it's about energy. And it's inexcusable, kind of the lack of early energy that you did have in that game. And I think that when you look at that, I think that they just got intimidated. That's kind of the only hitch that's got to be left, is that they saw these guys make shots early, and you're like, oh, well, can't really beat this team on this night. And then you kind of just – go on from there. I think that they just got shook early. I think you could see it. It, you know, reminded me at least of the Texas Tech game, the Oklahoma game, so many of these road games this season where Kansas is kind of not folded, but become introverted and kind of timid on the floor. I think that that's what you saw. And I think that that does revolve around a Devon Dotson saying, hey, let's keep this going, guys. We can hang with these guys. Because you saw it in the second half, there was a stretch there where Kansas brought it from, what, a 26-point deficit down to, I think it was like 15 or 14.
Yeah, something like
Kansas
that.
Kansas made it a game at some point, and you just wish that maybe would have been done earlier. And I think that that does reflect on Devon Dotson, although this was only his second NCAA tournament game. You know, this is Dedrick Lawson's second NCAA tournament game. This is just a team that had not been in situations like this. And I think when they got punched in the mouth, I think they really struggled trying to get back up.
I my thirst for blood has not been fulfilled yet. Because I want someone to blame. I know that you can't always actually blame. I know that that's kind of a default in a lot of sports discussions that's honestly mostly useless. But I guess I don't want to blame as much as I want to understand. And I think I understand, like, young guys out, you know, they're in their second NCAA tournament game and the first one against a team that you really thought ever had a chance of beating them and certainly came out strong. This team has struggled when teams have come out strong against them at the beginning. But is that just a youth thing? Is there a coaching aspect to that? I know Bill Self used three timeouts, what felt like in the first 30 seconds. So I know that Self was trying to recalibrate. Was it a doomed group at that point for Bill Self?
Yes, because of that inexperience. And I think that Bill Self can try and do whatever he wants. He can try the triangle and two. He can try the 2-3 zone. He can try full court press. He can try anything. And at some point, the guys that you have on the floor are the guys that you have on the floor. Mm-hmm. There is no, you know, Joe Vick's not walking through that door. Mm-hmm. Doak's wrist isn't going to heal immediately. Silvio De Sousa's suspension isn't going to be lifted immediately. And I think that Kansas has lost a lot this year, as we've talked about. But I think that it is just youth. And at the end of the day, I think experience won the game. Mm-hmm. Auburn is a very experienced squad, and Bruce Pearl did a great job of preparing those guys for the game. And I think that when they came out with that mentality, I think that Bill Self tried to get his guys back into the game. And using those timeouts, I mean, using the first three and basically the first 14 minutes, that's something that Bill Self does not do. Timeouts are like gold to him, and to use them like that, I think, spoke a lot about what he saw in his team, either mentally or just the way that they were playing on the floor. So I understand you want to put a singular blame or saying that this is the reason why, but I think that this is more of everything from this season. The struggles guarding the three-point line, the lack of experience, the lack of three-point shooting. I think that all of it kind of just accumulated. It came to a head last night, and I think that it's something that I wish that you could say it is Dedrick Lawson's fault. That is it. There we go. Season is over. That is it. But I think that it's just a little bit more complex than that.
I think that's the right answer for the record. I do think that's true. I think that's the perfect answer to the Bill Self question, where especially whenever you see him trying so many different things, it's not like Bill Self didn't find the answer until, you know, the game was 2/3 over. There just wasn't really an answer for this matchup. With that in mind, you mentioned Azubuike. And I know that last night KU had their doors shot off, and I know that I think I would still argue that this team is, I mean, they keep starting. This isn't no indictment on David McCormick, who's actually played pretty well throughout the Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament. But whenever you're starting Dedrick Lawson and David McCormick and then three guards who can't shoot, or at least who haven't shot well recently, it feels like you're kind of trying to play some, like, 90s basketball when Auburn's built like the Warriors. And that feels like a team construction thing. But even with that being said, what do you think changes with this team if Azubuike doesn't get hurt? I don't need to deal with Silvio De Sousa. I'm not even worried about LeGerald Vick right now, because I keep getting hung up on Azubuike, because I know how much that changes Dedrick Lawson's role, I think, for the better. I know how much that reinstalls a floor in this offense that KU had a shovel out trying to find the floor last night, and they kept going down farther and farther. How much does Azubuike change this team? Does it change anything last night?
I think it changes the team a lot. I think, first of all, I don't think it's really a hot take. I think you win the Big 12 with Udoka Azubuike. I think just getting that 12 points a night to 15 points a night, I mean, just getting that from him consistently on a nightly basis, on top of the maybe Dedrick Lawson doesn't get the 25 and 15. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets more of a 28 and 3, you know. I think that Kansas still wins the Big 12 with Udoka Azubuike. I think that he helps, as you said, raise the floor. maybe not the ceiling, because yep. three-point shooting is what raises your ceiling.
Agreed.
He doesn't change the three-point shooting, but what he does is he makes Kansas, A, more deep, B, gives them that, you know, the walking bucket, mm-hmm. as you have heard about. Mm-hmm. I think also what it does is it gives Kansas a place to go when there is no other place to go.
Yes.
You've seen Dedrick Lawson really struggle to get the ball at times, and you saw it last night, because he struggles to get his man down into the low block and keep him there. Because what happens at times is Dedrick will get his guy down there, and Dedrick just barely doesn't weigh enough and doesn't, you know, maybe have the balance to keep the guy from pushing him out, and he gets pushed out further and further. And then you see him kind of have to post up in the mid-post. So what Doak does is he allows you to throw it in immediately, because nobody is going to move that massive human being around. Mm-hmm. So I think that he definitely, as you said, raises the floor. I think Kansas wins the Big 12. I think they're probably a 2-seed, a 1-seed. They're not playing Auburn in the second round.
Yeah.
But as for the long-term potential of this team, I don't think Udoka Azubuike changes if they're a national title contender or not, mm-hmm. just because you don't have that three-point shooting around it to really maximize what Doak can do for you as a team. But I think what he does do is he makes it so you in a conference setting can be really successful. But in that one-and-done setting, I really don't know how much he changes your actual seal.
Okay, and so I said I wasn't going to talk about Gerald Vick, but you brought him up, and now I've lied. Oh. So. Because I do think you look at the ceiling raising. Listen, I don't actually think that you're going to get four straight perfect games from LeGerald Vick. I don't know if we've ever seen that from him. But how did last night, as far as you think in the eyes of most KU fans even, or maybe in your own eyes, how did the absence of LeGerald Vick last night affect how you think about his absence altogether, if that makes sense?
Ooh, okay. So I think for last night specifically, I don't think LeGerald Vick would have helped you. LeGerald Vick isn't going to defend. He's not going to be the guy that is pulling other guys up by the scruff of the neck. I think that with him, he's going to help you shoot, and he's going to shoot a lot. He's going to shoot a lot of ill-advised shots. He's going to shoot some shots that you say, oh, no, that it hits the bottom of the net. And you're like, oh, great shot, LeGerald. But I think that, you know, last night, I don't think that helped.
Yeah.
But maybe, I guess you could say it could have helped. But I think you also have to look at the way that the team played when LeGerald Vick was here. Quentin Grimes was a lot more timid. Ochai Agbaji was a lot more timid. Just in general, a lot of guys deferred to LeGerald Vick, who maybe isn't the guy that other guys should be deferring to, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think in a singular game setting last night, I'm not sure if he helps, but in theory, his three-point shooting would help, but I'm not sure if the other things that he brings, the step-back twos, the lack of defense, mm-hmm. the not boxing out, all the other things that he brings, I'm not sure if all those other things can make up for that three-point shooting bump that he gives you. I think that really, I mean, you saw him leave, Ochai Agbaji got hot from the three, mm-hmm. then he kind of cooled down. Then Devon Dawson kind of got hot from the three, mm-hmm. then he cooled down. Then Quentin Grimes had a little flurry in the Big 12 tournament, then he cooled down. I think that this team is filled with streaky shooters, LeGerald Vick being one of them when he was with this team. I'm not sure if his streakiness, you know, would have helped the team now, unless he was against Stanford streaky, where he is just unconscious and is basically like Klay Thompson.
Well, to that exact phrase, I was just thinking, like, you can say it, Mike. You can just say, hey, listen, Kevin Durant wouldn't have saved this team last night. It was just over. You could have put LeBron, modern-day LeBron, on the court, and it would not have mattered. Kansas was losing this game.
Yes, and to me, I think that I love that. Yeah, you could put Kevin Durant on the team last night, and if you were to place, I don't know, David McCormick with Kevin Durant, let's say.
Yes.
And you had him playing at the five, whatever.
Yes.
It's a closer game, but I'm not sure if he's going to even see.
Oh, they absolutely win the game with literal Kevin Durant replacing David McCormick, Michael. Stop it. Stop it. Let me exaggerate, but don't validate my stupid sentence. Stupid.
No, Kevin Durant would go for 70. Yes. KU would easily won the game.
Yeah, KU puts up 140. What are you talking about?
Kevin Durant just comes down every time, takes just, you know, all the pull-up twos, and KU wins. Yeah,
yep.
But
yes.
I think that if you're to use the metaphor,
yeah.
KU could have had, you know, LeBron David West, anybody, like any NBA player, you know. But no, I think that last night, I think Auburn shooting 60% from three for the majority of the game, like, that's just not going to happen. I think at some point you kind of just got to shrug your shoulders and say, you know what? They played their best game. We didn't. And I think that that's all you can really say, and you just kind of walk away from it.
I also love that we've gone through all the NBA greats for this analogy. Klay Thompson, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and David West?
David West. Hey, I am a David West fanboy. You know what? I'm a big fan of NBA guys going out and joining boxing rings and creating their boxing culture.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, great, good, love that. That's excellent. Okay, so now here's an impossible question the day after the season ends, but I'm going to ask you anyway because I don't have to be fair. No one's paying me to be fair. What's the percent chance that this is the last game we see from Dedrick Lawson, from Quentin Grimes, from anybody else? Who's out the door right now, at least? Who has a better than 50% chance of being out the door right now?
Okay, better than 50% chance. This is the Michael Swain Index.
Yes.
So I think that Dedrick is most likely gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you look at kind of the way that his trajectory has gone, really struggled with the combine after his freshman season, redshirts, kind of transforms his body, comes in, averages basically 20-10. I don't think there's much more that Dedrick Lawson could do to help his NBA stock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe Dedrick Lawson doesn't give a crap about NBA stock and he wants to, you know, be successful at Kansas. And he has talked a lot about coming to Kansas and wanting to play in the big games and playing on big stages. So maybe he's gotten his fix of that, and maybe he wants to move on. I don't know. But maybe he does want to come back, win the Big 12, right? You know, not that he's ever wronged anybody in any way, but right the wrongs of this season, you know, that sort of cliche. So I'd probably say he's most likely gone. Devon Dotson will definitely be back. He could test the waters. I wouldn't hate that, honestly, just to get some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But three-point shooting-wise, he's not ready. Vision-wise, he's not ready. Feel-wise, not ready for the NBA yet. Another season of college would probably do him good. As for Quentin Grimes, I honestly am of the opinion that I don't believe he'll be back. I think that you could probably flip a coin at this point, and that's probably what would happen. I think that when you look at kind of the draft as a whole, it would make sense for him to go now.
Yeah.
It's not the best draft in the world. You really got Zion, Ja Morant, you know, 50 feet, and then RJ Barrett, and then after that, it's kind of just a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Quentin Grimes leaves, tries to be a late first, early second round pick, you know, try and just go pro and get rid of what was a disappointing season. The one that I'm the most interested about is Udoka Azubuike. Because I'm not really sure he's going to be back.
Interesting.
I was of the opinion most of the season, okay, whatever, you'll have Zoke back next year. But then I kind of started to think about it, and he's kind of in the same situation as Dedrick to some degree. What else can he show you?
Yeah.
He didn't get the jump shot over the summer. I'm not going to get the jump shot over this summer. So then at that point, then you're going on another college season. You're another year older. That's another year that an NBA team can't teach you how to shoot. So I think that maybe he leaves and tries to hedge his bet with A, his age, and B, just his size and athleticism when he's at the right weight. So I'd be really interested to see. I think the one that could surprise people is Doke, just because I don't think it would be the most surprising thing in the world if he doesn't come back.
You did skip over what I think is clearly the most obvious one, which is Bill Self. I don't know. You skipped over it because like, it's 100%, I guess? Like the contract's already signed at this point?
I don't understand. where all the Bulls rumors came from.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. But I think when you, A, look at the fact that the Bulls just extended their coach through next season, back in January, and then you look at Bill Self's contract and just the way that things have kind of gone here, and then the statements that he made to Sam Mellinger and the KC Star, I really think that he will be here next season.
10-second answer on this because we got to bounce. On Bill Self, the only way he's leaving is if sanctions are coming. Fair?
Maybe. I think that, honestly, if sanctions are coming, I think he's the type of guy that maybe would want to stay and say, screw it, I'm going to get us through this and kind of get us through
what
would be the dark ages.
Okay. I don't think that I don't think you would, but that's fine. That's an interesting opinion that you have. You would know better than I do. Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports. You can follow on Twitter at mswain97. What's on 24/7 Sports right now on fog.net that you like the most?
The Dedrick Lawson story from Scott Chasen from yesterday.
Yeah.
Dedrick Lawson was crying in the locker room because he felt so disappointed in his team. Scott did a really good job of kind of taking that and putting it into the perspective of Dedrick Lawson's season. So really good story there.
Well, listen, if Scott wanted to plug his stories, he should have been on here. I'm upset that you've plugged Scott once again, but it's fine. We'll let you go. Thank you, Michael, for making the time for us here. And, I guess enjoy getting ready for Les Miles.
Oh, I will. Thanks for having me on. Jeff.
Absolutely. Michael Swain, again, he's at mswain97 on Twitter. A really, really good follow for KU stuff. Like talking to him a lot. You can read all of his work at fog.net. And whenever we come back, I'm going to make good on my promise to Barry Bruce Weber. I got to tell you, TNT and TBS programming outside of college basketball, not great. I think I've got NCIS, which is just a lot of murder for 9 a.m. I've seen three or four people die throughout the course of the show on TNT. And
awesome.
I think I've got, well, what's Kevin James' TV show?
King of the Hill? Or
King of the Hill.
Or
I was going to say
Queen.
King of the Hill.
No,
okay. I was going to say King of the Hill. That's the animated one.
That's the animated one, yeah.
King of Queens, which now has like young Patton Oswalt on it. I use young, you know, I guess, sort of a lot of corpses on my left screen. And then Kevin James on my right screen. And nope, sorry, I had those inverted. That was unfair. That was a mean joke about Kevin James. I'm Josh Abrisco here on Sports Sunday with you. Other voice here is Chris Bullig, running the show, DJing, all of that today. And we're out in a few minutes because our NCAA tournament coverage starts in like 8 minutes. What's up? Chris told me something in my headphones that I literally could not hear. That was giving me an out time. I'm a professional. Just hit the music. Hit the music with a minute left, and I'll do a little pirouette, and we'll exit perfectly. We're out in a couple minutes, though, so we're going to hand it over to Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament, which you will hear in 8 minutes. And then it's basketball all day, baby. So, and it's also like we're doing the right, Westwood One's doing the right thing, which is they'll take you where it's interesting. And I just think that's an excellent way of doing all this. So shout out to Westwood One for doing that. Also, if you want, you can even listen. I've done this already. You can listen on your phone. You can go through the 810 mobile app this year and get all of our coverage of the NCAA tournament, all of it now because we couldn't stream KU. But now KU is out. So all of our coverage will be up on 810WHP.com and also on the app, of course, here on Terrestrial as well. So lots of options. I got 2 minutes here on Bruce Weber. It's a short show. If you want to hear more from me, almost entirely sports tomorrow from 4 to 6. KU lost because Auburn walked up and blew their brains out with threes within the first, 8 minutes. Fast break points and threes, that's tough, man. That's a tough way to go through a game, but it just sort of happens. K-State. Now, Bruce Weber immediately took a piece out of his waistband and just shot himself in both feet in the first half of this game in a way that was completely baffling to me. Barry Brown got two fouls super early on. At the sixth minute of the game, he got a second one. And he did not play another moment of the first half. He sat for 14 minutes of the first half with Dean Wade out. And by the way, I tell you how much Udoka Azubuike would have changed KU. Dean Wade certainly would have changed K-State in this game. But he was out, and Bruce Weber sits Barry Brown for those 14 minutes with two fouls because he didn't want to pick up a third foul in the first half. This guy's fouled out, a handful. You could certainly count it on your fingers, the number of times he's ever fouled out at K-State. It was a single-digit number. I think it was six times. I don't know. He doesn't foul out. He is... Your leader, he is your experience, he is all of those things. You have to trust that guy to play smart enough basketball that he won't pick up foul three. And honestly, you know what? If he picks up foul three, you just can't get foul four. I do not understand, before I even get to the result of this, the logic of we can't let you pick up three fouls in the first half because we want to make sure that you have a chance to get all the way to five in the second half, which you may not even do. At three, I get it because you're playing with such – if you end up playing the second half with four fouls early on, that's horrifying. Even then, though, the idea that you're expecting Barry Brown to pick up three fouls in the second half is really, really silly because that does not happen. And if you like to question the fact that does not happen, he got benched 4-6 minutes into the game with two fouls, and he ended the game with two fouls. He did not record another foul throughout the rest of the game, and Bruce Weber was just there blowing his toes off. Bullet after bullet. It was absolutely befuddling to me. That game was tight at halftime and absolutely should not have been. And then even with Barry Brown back out there, they got outscored in the second half, obviously. That's how these games work, half and a half. Even then, you get a cold Barry Brown. He never looked right again throughout the rest of the game. Absolutely insane mismanagement by Bruce Weber in the first half of that game, just by an auto-benching. It was a robot coaching, and if a robot was coaching your team that way, you would unplug the machine. It was just absolute mismanagement. KU got blown out, and K-State blew off their own foot. All right, I'm Joshua Briscoe. It's been Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. Enjoy the NCAA tournament coverage. Talk to you again tomorrow on ESPN Kansas City. Bye, Mom!